New Life, a podcast exploring and rediscovering new metal, past, present, and future. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy.
I'm your other host, Tom.
And we got yet another interview for you guys. Special one here. The Boys and Scars of Life, they're back. We got Anthony and Kyle, both guitarists and vocalists, respectively. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, doing great. Doing good, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. So just a couple weeks ago, for anybody that's been following our page and keeping up on our post updates, we stumbled across Scars of Life coming back together. So thought that was awesome. Anthony reached out, said, hey, man, we'd like to come on and talk about the band and kind of discuss all things that's been going on. So we were like, hell yeah, let's go ahead and do this. So just to give a little bit of background, you guys are still Florida boys. Pompano Beach still?
Yeah, we use the Fort Lauderdale area, but generally most of us are in the South Florida area right here, like near there.
Gotcha. We're all within a half hour of each other, so it's it's close.
Right, nice. Yeah, so and then for anybody that doesn't know, you guys were around initially back in the early 2000s, released this, your debut CD Mutes around January of 2002, and man. Or 2001, excuse me. Yeah. Also, you guys have toured with a lot of big names or played shows with, rather. Obviously, being down in the South Florida area, you guys played with, Poison the Well, Endo. Also saw that you guys, back in the day of the Jägermeister tours, which those are so fun to go to, I guess they had a local stop. You guys played with, Cold Chamber, 40 Below Summer, El Nino, Drowning Pool.
We used to be avid Jäger drinkers. It's kind of slowed down these days, but once in a while, we still hit that up.
Oh, dude, it's a great drink, man. I would take some shots around showtime, too, man. It was just recently that you guys finally reunited, coming out with new music. But for those that aren't familiar with Scars of Life, as far as our audience is concerned, can you give you guys a little bit of a background of when you first started and, the hiatus and what's going on now?
Go for it. All right. So we started, it's a long story. I met Jason Rodman, our drummer, when I was 15 years old. I didn't even have a license. He had to come pick me up at my parents' house. And we started in death metal bands starting at 15. I was, before Scars of Life, I was in three other bands. So I met him at 15. We had a couple other bands that had, I was a death metal vocalist and guitarist in those bands. And then in 1998 or 99.
It was the first album. 97 was
well 2000 99 was the first one and then 2000. I don't know. So at some point we actually had
two albums. So our first one was 97 and then our second one was 99. First one was our Forever Scarred CD. You can still find those online. I think they're online.
The band was Confined was our band and we had two albums. Forever Scarred. And what was the other one?
Silence.
Yeah. We kind of promote them on our Spotify page. People that scroll down, they'll see. But those were, we came from a technical, melodic, death metal, thrash background. Me and Kyle both did vocals, and Kyle was the bassist. Kyle's a really good bassist. Not just plays bass, but knows how to play it well. So some people don't know that. They see Scars of Life's More Music as maybe more simplistic, but we came from a very technical background with guitar solos and just eventually we just wanted to play simple stuff and just have fun, try choruses out. So that's how it came about. We've always liked music with emotion. That's both of our backgrounds are music that have a lot of emotion. So we've taken the elements of the heavy music we like and we've put it into Scars of Life. That's why we have a lot of guitar melodies going on.
And I think for us, a lot of the decision to change and go from being the band Confined to Scars of Life was, at least for me, I was so blown away by the Stained Dysfunction album.
Oh yeah.
When that came out, that just changed everything for me. And then I talked to him and our drummer, and I was like, you know, I want to try doing something else. You know, we'll try just doing, you know, we'll keep our metal that we got going on, but we'll try to implement, you know, some more softer stuff or whatever. We'll try doing clean singing. It was my first crack at it back in 2001 with the Mute CD. I'd never sang before, you know, with Confine we did, but that was all like Machine Head style vocals and things like that. It wasn't, there was really no, you know, pitch to it or anything. There was no really trying to sing correctly. We didn't really know what we were doing. We were really young. And, but yeah, ever since Scars of Life, the Mute CD, that was the first time I ever attempted to do it. And then we just kept going with it. And, you know, eventually it caught on and a lot of people enjoyed it. And we became pretty popular down here in the South Florida scene. And whenever we would play shows, we had a good response. And, you know, it just all kind of snowballed from there.
I want to give one credit to a life-changing album for me. Still a favorite band of mine was the Cold album.
Year of the Spider.
Actually
13 Weights of Lead on Stage.
That album, I burned the fucking shit out of it. Probably had a good, like back in the day, I burned the hell out of that album, and then Stained Dysfunction, and just seeing that how you can have this emotion and still have, you know, hard edged music and whatnot, and it was just different for me. And that's why recently we saw Stained, we had VIP tickets, and we met Scooter, as a picture on our Facebook page just a few months ago. And I was fucking, I don't get starstruck. We've met musicians before, but I fucking lost my shit because like he was so influential for me. So that was awesome.
He was a nice guy too. Yeah. Very, very, very soft-spoken, nice guy.
Yeah, so and speaking of talking about, you know, playing with National Acts and everybody, was there any other bands like from like the Jaeger tour or when you opened up for National Acts, any other bands that you guys got in good with or, you know, kind of built a rapport with?
I wouldn't say got in good, you know, because we mostly stayed in our local area around the state of Florida, which is what a lot of people don't know. They're always like, come to our country, come to Brazil, isn't that, dude? We've always had careers, and that just wasn't a possibility, the money offered and things like that. So we did play. We had the luck of playing with Drowning Pool before the original singer passed away. We played a show down here in Boynton Beach, Florida. Met him. His name, Dave Williams. Super cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just soon after that
he died soon after that.
One of the other highlights, I think, we were put on a festival again by a management team we had in Orlando, and we played with the newer version of Drowning Pool, but the real highlight for me was Static X, right? And Damage Plan. So we met Dimebag Darrell, and we were on the side of stage watching like little kids because we were like an opening act. And they did, well, like just like the name of your podcast, we played Damage Plan. And when they played, they did play Pantera Walk, and we were on the side of stage, and he fucking came out and brought, made us come on stage. What the fuck am I doing singing Walk with Dimebag Darrell?
That's amazing,
just
dude.
We just saw Pantera. I just saw Pantera like 2 weeks ago down here. And that was a huge highlight for me. And, you know, Wayne Static was there, and just it was just like, what are we doing with these people? Like, but, you know, as an underground band that really didn't, you know, we didn't have this major success and we didn't really try for it. We still had some great experiences.
Yeah.
I was going to say, as I was talking to you earlier today, Anthony, early in the 2000s, back in the days of MySpace, GarageBand, I heard about you guys. I mean, and I was living in Colorado at the time. So, I mean, I think you guys even had an online presence because I knew a lot of people that knew of you guys outside of Florida.
I think we had a MySpace.
Well,
right?
What happened was, so we had this album come out in 2001, and before the UFC was the gold mine it was today, when they started, they found us and they were looking for bands that they could like barter with to use, you know, you get promotion, we don't pay you, but you get promotion on UFC. So we became one of the UFC's, you know, favorite bands, and we ended up having fighters walking out to our songs. We were on other video games, TV shows, their hell, they came to did a pay-per-view and we were invited to the Miami one. I'm somewhere on video eating a hot dog when they panned to us as our song was on. But so that kind of, they kind of pushed us. They took us in the studio, you know, they definitely helped get our name out. You know, we were on some compilation CD next to bands like Fear Factory and Slayer. I was like, what the fuck are we doing on here? But, you know, we were just always a local, we were a local band that never really like left Florida, except for one festival. We went to Georgia for a big festival called Loco Bazooka, where we played with a bunch of bands like
Filter,
Seven Dust.
Yeah, a lot of bands.
You know, we've had some thing. I think at one show, I feel like we opened on a second stage for Mudvayne one time at Ovation. Taproot. Just, you know, bands from that era. But, you know, it had been a while. You know, once 2005, you know, our album came out in 2005.
So, yeah, you were talking about playing with, you know, Taproot and staying local.
Yeah. You know, so we you know, even though we did local, you know, we had some of the local clubs promoted us, you know, and they would let us get on these shows when bands came down here. We had some management for a little while that helped us out with a few things, like, so for instance, that festival with Damage Plan and Static X. But, you know, ultimately, the type of money that was, you know, offered for all these fans that always say these guys are highly underrated and they never got their due and all that. The reality was, you know, by the time people wanted us to go on tour or whatnot, it was already like, we were already like in different places in life. And, you know, you have to realize, you know, unless you're like, you know, 2021, you got mom and dad backing you, it's very hard to leave. We never made music our, you know, we didn't work at McDonald's just to be in a band. You know, like, we never made music our priority for income, like some people do. And, you know, it was a hobby. To me, it was a hobby we all enjoyed. Maybe it's the wrong word. To me, it was a hobby that, you know, got bigger than we planned. But, you know, in 05, you know, our album came out and, you know, there was just some frustration between all of us. And, you know, we decided to just disband for a little bit. And Kyle moved away out of state. And, you know, I can let him speak to the rest. You know, we did put an album out in 2013. I'll let him get into that, what drove that. It was really, he was the driver of that, getting back together for that.
Yeah, I still wasn't done. You know, I moved back in like, I got back in touch with Anthony. It was like 2010 or 11. And then I came down and visited and we decided to just jam one time. And we ended up just, you know, jamming in our drummer's garage just like for one time. And it was a lot of fun. And then we said, hey, let's do another CD or do another album. And, you know, everyone agreed. And we ended up getting a rehearsal space and practicing and do what we needed to do. We weren't really playing any shows. I think we played like one or two shows or something like that. But that really wasn't our focus. Yeah. We you know, back in the early 2000s, we're like, oh, let's play live. But at this stage, we're like, all right, look, we're too old to go on tour. We've all got responsibilities. We've all got lives, you know, kids, you know, shit like that. And so we knew we were just going to make an album. Yeah, and
we set it up that
way. Yeah, we set it up that way. And then, you know, we still are enjoying making music. In fact, actually, after that 2013 album, the Heart Still Beats album, you know, we disbanded for a little while too. Everybody was just working and doing our own thing. And then eventually, I think it was like, I don't know, 4 years ago or something like that, we decided to, hey, you know, let's write some more music and stuff like that. And Anthony wrote a couple things and all the ideas usually stem from him. And then we kind of all build,
shape it up.
But he was, you know, inspired to write a couple things and said, all right, well, you know, let's check it out. And then COVID hit. And then after COVID, we were like, all right, well, you know, fuck, man, this is really putting a damper in things. And then, you know, we just kind of forgot about it. And then not too long ago, we had a song called Falling Up, which was written all the way back in 2001. And all we did for that song, we rewrote the entire song. There is absolutely 100% rewritten, except the lyrics. So the lyrics are the only thing that's the same. The lyrics weren't touched. But we, you know, completely changed the music. It's an entirely different song. In fact, the original version is up on one of our live shows. We only played it live. We never recorded it.
Yeah.
And
we just took the idea, or like the structure idea around it, and rewrote the riff better. There are songs out there that got released, demo tracks, that people are always like, why don't you put this song on this? Well, guys, you know.
Well, we didn't like them. That's why they were on demos.
There's a reason it wasn't really supposed to be out there. Like, they're not there because as musicians, there's things that the general public that isn't a musician isn't going to know. You know, we like to record to a click. We like to have a steady beat. And these songs were just not structured properly. When we tried to actually record them, it was a disaster. And they just weren't up to par. So that's why they weren't there. But we kind of liked some elements of the idea of Falling Up. So that's why we rewrote it. And then, you know, we're actually working on something today. I could let Kyle talk about that piece.
We got another song that we're in the middle of working on. We're tracking. I think we're finishing up vocals today. It's called As Wounds Open. That was a song that we started in, you know, right before COVID. We wanted to record that, and we did without vocals. We just, you know, laid down the music. And again, we restructured the entire thing, and now it's a completely different song.
There might be 12 versions that we went through.
Oh, yeah. We went through a lot of versions. And it's hard because we haven't been able to, other than Anthony coming to my house, because I got a recording rig here. Anthony would come to my house, and we would work on stuff. We never really had a chance. We work best as a band in the rehearsal room, all just, you know, idea building and doing stuff like that. That's how we feel the best product comes out. And we didn't have the opportunity to do that with As Wounds Open with some of the original versions. And then our drummer Robin got, like, you know, an electric kit in his house, and he's got a little room. And then we bring, you know, we just all plug into like a little recording rig, and we can all hear each other with headphones and stuff. And so now we're able to do that. We're able to like workshop ideas and write, you know, more quality stuff instead of just kind of do it on our own and, you know, figure things out that way. So eventually As Wounds Open turned into what it is now. So we're, you know, like I said, we're finishing up the vocals today. We're excited to get it released. Our drummer is actually mixing this one himself. He's recording and mixing. We'll see how that goes. So far, it sounds really good. We're really happy with it. And we hope everybody enjoys it.
That's awesome. Yeah, and speaking about Falling Up, we posted that on our Facebook page. That is out now for everybody to go ahead and check out. I saw that. I was like, wow, man, like Blast from the Past, Scars of Life is coming out with some stuff again, dude. Like, this is fucking awesome.
10 years between.
10 years.
10 years, yeah.
And it's, I go through these comments on YouTube, and people are always like, these guys are, they're dead, it's over with. Like, there's so many comments, it's like, these guys, last album was 2005. Then it's like, what the hell? They came back in 2013. Now what? Another 10 years later? It's like, dude, shouldn't these guys be like 80 years old? we really started super young, but I mean, we should be friggin' ancient, but we still have so much energy to do it. You know, we're not going to be putting an album together. We said that. We're going to do a song here and there at our leisure when we want. And that makes it enjoyable. The pressure of an album and the pressure of being in a band, part of the breakup in 05 was there was pressure. And you get burned out. And, you know, just like some people like to go golfing or whatever, it's kind of a hobby, you know? I've been writing since I was 14 years old in bands. I started, it was like a punk rock band when I was 14. Kyle's been in bands beforehand, you know? We've been performing together before Scars of Life, and we used to open for death metal bands. We actually got on a show where we opened for
Morbid Angel
on one show. We opened I opened for Cannibal Corpse when I was 17 years old with Jason Robin in the middle of a ranch in South Florida, and our band was called Incessant Torment. And I'm like, what am I? This is insane. I'm 17. I'm a little kid. My hair weighed more than I did at the time. Yeah. So there's just a lot of history, and we talk about music a lot, and we enjoy our bond with me and Kyle is we enjoy similar styles of music, which is all based around melody. Surprisingly, I know a lot of people like the heavy stuff from Scar Life. To be honest with you, I enjoy melodic stuff more. I got to do heavy stuff because melodic stuff can be boring. There's certain songs we never played live because they work out on an album well, but they don't translate good live. So that's why some videos that we did release of our old shows, you won't see certain tracks that they just didn't convey well live. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as the new material and obviously Falling Up, I mean, I was going to say it kind of stays true to your sound from, you know, back in the day, which obviously makes sense because you said you initially, for the most part, kind of had the idea around that time. So stylistically, I mean, is it pretty much what we would expect? Is there anything different you guys are trying out this go around, or?
Oh, with the new one, with As Wounds Open?
Well, just like with the new songs that you guys are working on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This new one, I mean, of course, it's so cliched that most bands always say it. I personally, and I've showed it to some people in my life that believe this is going to be, I don't know, you know, like the best song we've ever put together, because we've been able to take our time on it. It's been rewritten 12 times. I've never done that. And this whole recording at home and being able to take your time versus the pressure of a studio, which we've always had to do in the past, we believe the recording quality is going to sound, mixing and everything is going to come out better than Falling Up did. And Falling Up was an upgrade from our past. But we really got a handle on this, and it's really making it that we can really get, I think it's going to be the heaviest song we might have had recorded, but it's not all about heavy, you know. It's really, there's melody in it too, but yes, it's going to be Scars of Life, but this will have energy, but it will have more melody. And Falling Up was kind of like, the goal of Falling Up, I think, was we just wanted to put something with just high energy out, not come out with something that's just kind of a downer of a song. But this is going to have more of a blend of heavy and melodic together.
Yeah, a lot of different elements.
Nice, yeah. And I was going to say, the whole DIY, man, you know, you were talking about less pressure. Absolutely, because there's some studios that they'll charge by the hour. Some that they, if you're lucky enough, you get to charge by the song, but it ain't cheap. Yeah. And that's the other part too. It's just that, you know, you want to talk about pressure. You're like, well, we only got so many, you know, funds in the bank and so much time to work with the producer.
And that's the reality of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to rush.
You just got to accept what it is.
Yeah. We've never worked with a producer ever.
Yeah.
So everything that we've done has just been self-made. So, you know, there were other bands, a lot of bands that we played with, they're like, oh man, you guys are awesome. Just get in with a producer and just get that polished sound or whatever. And we were like, yeah, man, but some of these producers that we think would be good for it, they're charging like 10 grand a song.
Yeah.
We're like, fuck that, man. We can't do it. So, you know, everything, we just did our own,
yeah.
You know, and I think that when you work with a producer, they try to take their input and make your song their stamp on your song and kind of tailor it to what they like. And they try to shape your band around that. And we can say we didn't ever have to deal with that.
Ever.
Everything that we wrote is our own. Nobody ever had any input. Nobody. This was all us.
Every song.
So
could be good, could be bad. We met a producer that had a really big name. And we went there and he basically, I mean, didn't sugarcoat it. He was told us he's going to change everything.
Yeah.
I remember that was not a pleasant meeting. And we were like, dude, this guy, you got some balls saying this to us. And we just couldn't wait to get out of there. You know, I'll give a little credit. Kyle does have a cousin that helped us out. His cousin's in a pretty popular band called Fame on Fire. And his cousin is the singer of Fame on Fire, Brian, who lived near here at the time. He recently moved, but he came over and he helped us out with the DIY and kind of got us set up in a good place. So I'm going to give credit to him. So he helped out with the Falling Up, getting the DIY process going. And now we kind of have that template to kind of work on it our own. So we kind of took it from somebody that's been doing it really well with their own band.
Yeah. He did the vocals. He recorded the vocals with me, and he mixed, and we sent it off to some guy for mastering or whatever. He didn't master it, but he did the original mixing on it. And we think it sounded pretty good. But this new song that we got that's going to be coming out, it's just a different sound to it, I think. It's just got more meat. It's just heavier. It's thicker. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, when working on it on your own, we have the ability to change it over and over and over again. When you're asking someone like Kyle's cousin that was doing it, who's got busy with his own touring band, You can't drive somebody crazy, right? It's a friends and family deal. You can't go back and ask the guy to change it over and over again. Especially, you know, what are you gonna do? Drive them nuts? You know, you can't do that. So now we can do that. We pester our drummer Jason to do it over and over again. But
he likes doing it.
He was a sound engineer by trade when he started. He used to do sound at some of our own shows in the beginning. So,
yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah, so you guys were speaking earlier how with Stain Dysfunction, Cold, obviously big influences. Is there any other, you know, major influences that you've kind of taken that and put into your writing, like whether it be just instrumentally or vocally? Who other groups or musicians, I would say, are kind of more of your influences?
Well, vocally, I can say for me, I have my two biggest influences – for the Scars of Life style was Chuck Billy from Testament and Aaron Lewis from Stain. And I kind of would combine those styles together. Like a lot of people would ask me, I mean, I got so many emails, how do you scream like that? You know, so and so, so on and so forth. I would just try to take like Chuck Billy's death metal scream and Aaron Lewis's kind of like nu metal scream and mix them together. So that's kind of like what I would try to do. With that. So vocally, I think that's where I ended up. But in terms of like, you know, everything else.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we enjoy some, you know, we listen
to 36 Crazy Feet.
We listen,
right? You like them?
I love. So yeah, in the beginning, when we first started Scars of Life, like I said, my background heavily was death metal. I learned how to play guitar by learning death metal albums front to back. So I credit learning guitar to a band like Death. Death was my favorite band. So it's a weird thing to talk about that type of music and then how the hell did you come with Scars of Life? It's a whole different world. But I've always been into, like this shirt, this band Paradise Lost. I've always been into music with feeling and melody.
You like Anathema?
Yeah, I like doom metal a lot because they had the melodies. So that's the stuff, and this may sound weird, but doom metal has a lot of melodies on guitar. And you're going to find that most Scarred Life songs always have a melody because it's like talking, or it's almost like lyrics with your instrument. So that was, I would say, you know, I've always enjoyed in the beginning, Trust Company was huge back in that era, which I think they're coming back now. Lincoln, the first Linkin Park album, which people used to confuse us with Linkin Park somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all over YouTube.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so 36 Crazy Fist, I used to like a lot, you know, and man, we always liked Killswitch Engage. We loved how Killswitch Engage had very melodic vocals with really heavy music.
In Flames.
Yeah.
I like
you guys Flames. Like everything I like, man. Shit. Yeah. You guys like, I mean, same thing with Tom, dude. Like, we love all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, we listen to a lot. I listen to a lot of stuff. I mean, I just went and saw Journey a week ago. But I saw Journey many years ago, so it has nothing to do with age. Like, I was always I grew up listening to music like Fleetwood Mac and Creedence Clearwater Revival, just weird things I liked. I was a super metal, like this crazy metalhead with long hair, but I secretly was listening to like non-metal stuff, which was like illegal.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, look for the gatekeepers with that, dude, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man, but that's awesome because I mean, obviously, I think that the more influences you have, the more well-rounded you're going to be. And just because you have an influence, because I used to play in a band for a while, and you know, I would kind of talk about influences, but they're like, oh, I don't hear this band or this singer in your music. But it's like, it doesn't have to actually directly translate into the sound itself. It's just you could be influenced by a certain band or style, and then you know, still put that in your music one way or another without it sounding exactly the same. So, you know, like you're saying, like you're touching everywhere from Death to CCR, dude. Like that's great. Like, I call that well-rounded, dude, you know?
The Police.
Love The Police.
A favorite of mine growing up.
Yep.
So, you know, they got awesome bass in there. And Kyle can play some pretty good, we used to call it the Seinfeld bass, like the intro of Seinfeld. He used to fuck around and play that, you know. That wasn't stuff that most bass players would play that are just using a pick.
No, in fact, actually, in our, if you listen to some of the Confined stuff, we would throw slap bass in with the death metal. and it just worked. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like cheesy or anything. I think we did it in a good way, but I just like doing that stuff. And we were like, you know, we would write some of these death metal riffs and throw in the slap bass in there. I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. And I don't know. It was just, yeah, it was good. But yeah, our influences are just they're just all over the place, like you were saying. You know, it's from the Police to death to, you know, and that's kind of Scars of Life is just a mishmash of whatever we like, whatever we're thinking of at the time, and that's just how it comes out.
That's the way to go, man. Like, I just, I always, you know, appreciate and respect bands that they do what they want, because there's certain bands sometimes you kind of see that they genre hop, or they kind of just go with whatever is the most popular. And, you know, it begs the question, is this really coming from you, or are you just trying to be like the next big thing, you know? So that's awesome that you guys, you know, stick to Scars of Life, who you are.
Right. And I feel like there's so many bands that do that type of stuff. Like, around the 2000s, you know, early 2000s, and, you know, even to now, I feel like there's so many bands that do that, and they don't sound like nobody to me, or at least it's very few bands that actually sound unique. Like, everybody seems to be, like, a lot of the style or whatever is just a cookie cutter, and so many bands that I hear, I would just call them, like, rock band in a box. They would just sound like, you know, like one band that's on, and there's 100 more that sound identical to them. And, you know, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to sound like ourselves. And, you know, so we went from a really raw sound back in 2001 to what we are today. But we've always just done what we wanted to do. I don't think we ever really stylistically changed to, you know, whatever. So whatever's out, and at least kept the same band name. Confined was an entirely different band. So
I don't even listen to the radio really much these days. I find it.
I'm not sure who does, man.
I just read an interview with Chad Gray, and he was like, man, I don't know how bands today are doing. God bless them. He's like, one band comes out with a certain sound, and then 100 bands run that way, and then another band comes. He's like, he's just like talking about how it's just
like corn.
You know, and hey, whatever. Maybe it's our age. Maybe it's grumpy old man syndrome. But like, I listened to it, and I'm like, dude, this shit's all the same. Like, what the? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's certain bands that have an identity that will hear a song here and there, so I won't say I hate it all, but for the most part, Octane on Sirius or whatever XM, I don't even enjoy it anymore. Like, I'm listening to Ozzy's Boneyard because I'm like, it's just cookie cutter. That's how I take it. Probably felt that the same way when we were out in our era, but I don't know. I felt like there was more uniqueness in the popular bands. You could call it nu metal, but, you know, you could also say Korn and Trust Company and Deftones, they didn't sound the same. They all had their own identities. You know what I mean? There wasn't so many bands sounding exactly the same. Yeah. I can't even identify vocalists from vocalists today. No, you could back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, cause I'm right around the same age as you guys. And, I do remember there was a time back in the early 2000s where, yeah, like new music, it was exciting to listen to. It wasn't as cookie cutter. And just now, I just think it's just so stale to where me personally, you know, like either like Spotify or any of those other streaming services that really kind of dig deep and find like those independent label or unsigned bands. Like, you know, I tell people all the time that aren't into music as much as I am, I'm like, you know, look beyond the radio, look beyond just, you know, your Disturbs and, you know, I'm not talking trash about Disturbed, but like Disturbed, Godsmack, like there's so much more out there, and you're going to probably be surprised. And maybe I'm just a little biased, you know, well, I guess because of my taste, but like there's so much stuff that is not even on the radio that I would say it deserves to be on the radio because it's just, it's better, you know? So it's a different time. And I think due to the accessibility of these streaming services, some 15-year-old kid can literally create a band. I think we talked about this, Tom and I, a couple episodes ago, where they can literally just build a song and a band in their computer and release it like that within a day if they want. And it's just so, like, so much competition with that as well. So it's hard to stand out, you know.
And every now and then you find one that's just amazing. Like, there was this this kid, and I think it's like just him and a drummer. And they just do it in their house or whatever. It was, remember that Elon Vital? that song, the Kingdom Hearts
I
song
do.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And was he's really just cool. like this young guy to do it. And it was, if you ever have a chance, look up Elon, E-L-A-N, Vital, V-I-T-A-L or something like that. And it's like a pop goes punk thing. And they did a cover of a video game song from Kingdom Hearts 2. It is fantastic. And it's just him and a drummer that did it. I was just blown away. So it's things like that, like you were saying, anybody can do this stuff now. And it almost eliminates even the need for record labels. Like, you know, people, you don't need a record label to shell out $1 million for you to record an album on a fucking reel, you know, like you used to years ago. Now you could just, all the technology is so good right now. And us personally, we're taking advantage of that technology and being able to do it ourselves. And that's why now we can just crank out these songs whenever we want. I feel that, you know, like Anthony's saying, we're not going to do an album. We're just going to drop songs here and there whenever we feel like it. And because if we were to sit there and write an album, it would take us forever to do it. Nobody would get new songs.
Yeah.
And all of our fans, they all want new music. They ask us all the time, new music, new music. Okay, great. Well, here it comes. Yeah. So now we have the ability to do it and we're going to do it.
What?
So
what's an album these days? An album to me, I would hate to be an active band in the world today. You know, active meaning like I have to make a living off of it, because dropping an album, you know, we see it with just our single, and I see this with every other band. You know, we drop Falling Up, and I'm floored. We're all floored of the response that these fans still gave us. Like, people going crazy. I first heard about you going back all these years. Our YouTube video comments, like we got millions of plays on our Spotify. I just don't even understand it. Like, I don't even understand why. Because I'll go to bands that we toured with, or these bands that we played with that were actually signed and stuff, and when we just have far more followers and plays than them, and we didn't even start our Spotify back in the day. We actually didn't even have our album. What We Reflect was tied up in a legal contract. It wasn't even available until like 3 years ago. Like, I had to go through some legal issues to get control of it. And then actually put it on Spotify, it was never even available. It was just tied up with the distributor that had it years ago. So, but you know, you drop the song, and then like the excitement kind of goes by, you know, it goes by in a few days, and then what? Then you got a big hole until what? You put an album out in another year or two? Like, to me, it's so much better because the digital world has made it make more sense to just drop song by song and keep engagement going, or else you just got this black hole of nothing. And it also makes it have no pressure. You know, if I had pressure to write an album, I wouldn't be doing this, because I don't have the drive to sit there and put all that together. I mean, it's, you know, you're going to get poor quality if you're forced to do something in a rush. And that's just how I take it.
I think you probably seen that from a lot of bands. I know that I have, just like listened to bands, like, you know, like follow-up albums, and you're like, man, like two or three good songs, but then after that it's like a lot of filler, and it kind of makes you wonder. And then surprisingly with some of those bands, sure enough, 6 months to a year or two later, they disband. And it's probably, as you're speaking to, just the pressure of doing that. And also it kind of just, it takes out the fun. I think it affects your creativity, because you're not thinking in the right mindset. You're like, what do I got to do by this deadline? Rather than like, hey, let's just keep working at this until it's exactly how we want it. So, And then speaking of streams real quick, guys, I was looking on that on Spotify. Really impressive numbers, but I got to tell you, man, Bullet With Your Name, like what, 2.3 million streams? You guys know that,
yeah,
right?
So like, there's two versions million? Of the song. They both got almost 2 million. Yeah, one of them's about to hit 2 million. The other
The other one's right behind it. Yeah, so.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so Bullet With Your Name, I'm assuming that's the one that was on the UFC?
It wasn't. That's It wasn't. And it just blows me away. I listened to that song as the writer, and I'm like, what the fuck is it about this song? And then I start to listen closely. Like, I had a weed gummy the other day. And I'm listening to Kyle's scream in there, you know, and I'm like, God, it was so intensified. I was like, Jesus, man, I literally hear this guy's voice ripping apart. Maybe that's not what I heard before, but I'm just trying to find out how can I recreate that ever again, but I can't. Like, you know, I don't even know how that came about.
It's hard. It's hard because it's like with the stuff that we wrote back in 2001 was just so like it was simplistic. There was like we were just cranking the songs out. It just we weren't really, you know, dissecting shit too much. It was just raw. It was just unfiltered. It was just we just did whatever the fuck we wanted. And then now I feel like it's I don't think we could ever go back to writing that type of stuff just from the people that we are now. It's hard unless we, you know, were to ever get back there again. It's I don't think we could ever like make our music that raw again. I feel like our stuff would be just kind of more complex and more feeling based and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, for me, I mean, the Mute album, we wrote an album. Let's say we disbanded the band Confined, and the members of Confined, which included me, Kyle, Jason, and at the time it was Joe Rayo was the other guitarist. We just got a new band name. Since I was the primary writer, I had written like all these songs. Like, it was so fast. And you know, as a writer, what you experience is when you're inspired, stuff just flies into your head. I had this stuff written in just a matter of like 3 or 4 months. We literally just transitioned from this technical, let's call it death metal band, into we had an album prepared like in less than a year. Like all this stuff was written, even though we had other songs from the other band. It was fast. But then comes a time like a lull in like 2005 where we were kind of burned out, and there was just you know, things going on within the band and our lives. And I had writer's block. I fucking wrote like one song in a year. And I was like, dude, this is like crazy. Then we disbanded and I had the weight of Scars of Life off my hands. And I started something on the side that I did with some of the members called Burning Red. And with that band, I just found out I wrote like 16 songs in 8 months. I was like, holy shit. But it's just like, you know, it's all about the pressure and the pressure that's on you. And also having the reins lifted where I don't have to feel like I got to write within a certain, you know, I have this grid that I got to write within, you know, to fit this band's style. Just like you said, who wants to hear an album of a band that completely sounds different? Maybe you're like, sorry, it's the freedom of expression of a writer. But when I'm writing with these guys and they put their input in, I'm very adamant that, you know, these two songs that we're doing here, I was like, look, it has to be Scars of Life. That's Scars of Life. This isn't Scars of Life. We're not gonna do that because it's either too much, like it's too fucking heavy. Like we could shred on guitar. Me and Kyle play guitar all the time. We have our gear here, but there's a certain level of heavy that we can do, and then outside of that, it's like, dude, this isn't even the same band. And the level of heavy that we can get to, our fans would be like, we're not looking for a death metal band, you know. We heavy has its certain limits in Scars of Life for what fans consider heavy before it's just noise to them. And I keep that in the back of my mind. Although I want to go fucking nuts sometimes, I don't, because it doesn't make sense.
Just throw in a few gutturals and blast beats, you know?
Yeah, we can do it all.
Yeah. That was actually the original As Wounds Open.
Yeah.
Was so fucking heavy. We're just like, this just doesn't even sound like us. This is just... Yeah, it's just not the band,
you know. And when you're writing heavy stuff, you know, sometimes you can't sing over it. You know, I'm gonna be honest. You know, we like clean vocals. Kyle's not gonna scream his head off like he was when he was 21 years old. That's just not gonna happen. So we'll sprinkle some in here, but you know, voices change and tastes change. You know, and he's a vocalist, and we're not gonna fill up a song with a bunch of screaming because he don't want to do it. And we don't, that's not really a desire for us. So we put little parts in where we can use it as more of an accent than, let's say, Bullet With Your Name, that's just screaming a whole verse or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. So my next question is, guys, so with releasing the, you know, like a slow burn, like song one time, you know, once at a time, where I think a lot of bands signed and unsigned are starting to do that. Moving into shows, are you guys looking at playing every once in a blue moon, or is this strictly just studio stuff?
I guess we should get into one. No, I mean, three of us. Yeah, it's really just three of us right now, and we're just, you know, doing a DIY, like, you know, recording, and we just rehearse over at our drummer Jason's house, and it's just the three of us putting stuff together. So we're not even a full band.
Yeah.
you know, our guitar player, Joe, he lives in North Carolina now. And, you know, we just don't really do it. Mike is, you know, doing his thing. And
the effort to play live when you,
yeah,
we tried it back in 2014. And, you know, that whole fan base in South Florida, and it's just not there anymore. Like, everybody's older, right? And we tried it, and, you know, the show isn't just going to get packed with people that knew Scar the Light from 20 years ago or whatever. There's just too much work, and nor are we going to get our foot in the door, because we're really nobodies to these local club owners. So it's just, that's a whole nother level of effort that I don't know. It was never even a discussion, really. Sure, it'd be fine. It's fine to jam here and there. I don't know. I guess we can't say never, but.
It's not our desire, yeah, right now. We don't have any plans for it. You know, you never say never, right?
But for the you know, there's so many people that follow us still and support us, and the whole reason like we're doing this is we just wanted to get the fans to have an ability to hear us speak. So we're kind of like a mystery. Like I said to you earlier, Jeremy, I think we're kind of a mystery. We're like, who the hell are these guys? Like, they don't have any media, yet they got all these plays. And there's an underground fan base, but we don't know anything about them. So this was like, the video is a great way for us to kind of speak to our fans, because I think they deserve it for all the support they've given us for the years.
Yeah, man, they're diehards. They're really diehard
all
fans.
Over the world. When we look at our,
it's crazy.
We look at the stats. We get people write us all the time. You know, you get some of those writings. You know, obviously the lyrics Kyle writes are very. They're very personal. They're very deep, especially some of the earlier stuff. You know, it really affected people that were going through tough times. And we got some, you know, we got some heartfelt things that were written to us of how the songs were written for them. You know, we've also got whack jobs that wrote us. I mean, we had people we wanted to report to the police. Like, we just got all.
Freaking, wow. No kidding. Yeah.
But if we did not have. I'm stressing this because this is the main thing. If we did not have people interested in our music, I wouldn't even be doing this if there was like not the interest. So I'm blown away like how Falling Up had so much interest already, like after all these years, and there's just all these plays on it already and people went nuts about it. You know,
it's good to see.
Yeah.
It's nice for sure. So we want to thank our fans. Definitely. It's, you guys are great. For sticking with us all these years and being patient with us, waiting for new music all the time.
Yeah.
And we're sorry that we've made you wait years and years and years between between songs. But, you know, going forward, we're hoping we can put stuff out a little quicker.
We think we have plans to release one of our older songs. We're going to do in a better
yeah.
quality that hasn't been released yet. And put it, you know, get some real production behind it as well that we personally all loved. I'm not going to name drop something yet, but it's a song that we've loved that has the elements that we really feel should have maybe been released and never was.
Nice. Hey, Tom, I just wanted to check, man. I know a little bit further back, you're trying to say something. I think I cut you off. Did you have a question as well?
No, just the only thing we wanted to kind of bring up, just some of your standout songs, obviously Bullet With Your Name is one of the big ones here. And like, I don't know, for me also, it's also like a song like Placebo.
Placebo, wow.
Yeah. Well, Placebo, oh, yeah. For me, it's the weird thing about Placebo is that it's got a little bit of a different vocal, whatever style to it than most of the other songs. So I don't know, like kind of, to me that was kind of weird, but it also stands out for me. I don't know about, you know, I guess, I see on our doc that it stands up for Jeremy as well, but yeah, I gotta say when I hear that song too, it's like it is you guys, but it's like the vocal of the chorus, I guess, just kind of sounds a little bit different to me than the way you've done it on other songs. So I don't know. Those are two songs that kind of stand out for me when I sit there and listen to anything from whatever I could get on Spotify from you guys. So.
Can I ask you, what is it about Bullet With Your Name? I've always wanted to know this. I've always wanted to interview somebody. What made Bullet With Your Name stand out so far above everything else? I think you dropped off, but I can't even remember. I don't know. I'll let you speak to placebo. I don't. It's not one I've ever been. I've ever had anybody like really stand out and say we like that one. So I'm shocked to hear it. It's definitely a heavier one. You can hear some metal. I mean, it starts off with some of those metal elements are there more than they are in other songs. Lyric wise, I don't know, but the singing wise, it's got a beautiful bridge. I know. I'm not sure about the chorus style. Did you feel it was different to you?
It's got a lot of feeling to it. I think it's in a higher range, you know, but it's not a song that I really think about all that much.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
A song with 2.3 million streams.
No. So that placebo wasn't, Bullet with Your Name.
Placebo, my bad. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So when we were starting, we knew Bullet with Your Name was we'd always played at a show and they would go fucking nuts, people. So like when we played at a show, Bullet with Your Name has this bridge, that double bass drum part in the middle. So Kyle had this lyric to Bullet with Your Name. There's a part where we yell out, "Get the fuck away." And we actually had that on the back of a t-shirt that we sold. They're fucking, I wouldn't wear it. The kids loved wearing a shirt that said, "Get the fuck away." Or they say from me, "Get the fuck away." Yeah. And like, we would just set it up with that guitar. We'd extend it out sometimes. He'd get the crowd all crazy and we just extend that out. And he's like, "Are you ready?" And then like, we got videos of it. We did a live version of it on one of our albums, the Mute album. We put it out with a live version. We played at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando.
That was a great show.
Huge. There's even a video of like with just still photos of us with the live version behind it on YouTube. Someone put up. Well, that was the sickest stage we ever played. I mean, I don't even know how we got
it's
it.
Big.
In Orlando, Central Florida, like in the City Walk, so it was sound was awesome there. But I wish it could take me back to writing it. I just think it was a blur. All the songs on mute were written so fast that it was just nothing stood out about it. So I really wish I could find out what I did to make it, what made it so special for us. But I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Going back to it, all I can think of is just like there's something about the way that the vocal carries, and that bridge is pretty damn badass. It's just, I don't know, it's hard to explain as a fan, as a listener, and it is kind of strange that it's one of your, you know, biggest hits and whatnot, but I don't know, great song. What can I say? We love
it. It's so weird to even hear the word hit, because in a way it stands out so far above everything. It's like, how the hell did we have a hit? in our underground world, it's done really well. I mean, I look at stats of some other bands that had backing of record labels that were on MTV and things like that back in the day. And somehow, thanks to this fan base, we have far more followers today and plays than some bands that literally were backed and toured and did all these things that it amazes me. It amazes me that, you know, we still see these stats and, you know, we get a little income from it that we are using to like buy gear and things. It's like, how are we still, it's crazy. Like every year we see we look at the numbers and we're like, I can't believe 20 years plus has gone by and we're still getting more. We have more plays last year than we've ever had. Like every year it's getting more and more. Like, this year will have more than it did last year. Like I'm talking, like the Spotify gives you the stats every year. It's like, it's going up and up. It's like, what the, how's this?
And I think a lot of that has got to do with just being the digital age that it is right now. So when we started back in 2001, there was no fucking YouTube or Facebook or any type of social media. When you wanted to advertise a show, your ass had to get to the fucking other shows and start flyering. You had to put flyers on people's cars. I mean, it was word of mouth. Yeah. It was really difficult back then to get your name out there. And today, you know, bands can just get popular with one viral video and boom, you're done.
Yeah.
So it's just not that way anymore back in the 2001. So now it's easier, I think, for us to grow our fan base even further because the digital reach has made it that much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, also part of it is just like there is the resurgence of the new metal, of the interest in new metal and everything like that. And you guys come up and search for that stuff. And, oh, like, you know, you're just like everybody says, oh, this is like such a underrated, under the radar band, and oh, why can these guys be bigger and all this stuff? But so people still find you because of that. People share your music and whatnot. So it's there. And like, I mean, like, I know, who was it? Was it one of you guys that contacted us after reading a post on Reddit? Somebody posted your video on Reddit because we mentioned you talking about getting back together and whatnot. So just that, yeah, like goes back and forth, the social and everything like that, just that resurgence of interest in new metal, old stuff and newer stuff.
Yeah, when did that happen? Like the new metal, resurgence,
like,
or
like last year?
No, I would say about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, it started to really take off. You started seeing a couple of these other bands slowly kind of, move the needle that way. But it's really come. And I think it's also helped for the fact that Limp Bizkit's been very active. Taproot's back together. You see a lot of these bands coming back together. So,
and Buzz Company just played. They played a Blue Ridge Festival recently in Carolina, I think. And they're supposed to put an album out, which I'm excited to hear.
And then the other thing is, on top of that, which is very interesting, and I kind of know through my wife's niece, she's in high school now. Kids that age, man, they're eating nu metal up. Like, they're going back to, like, checking out Follow the Leader, Toxicity, Slipknot's original album first album.
Wow.
And it's like the trendy, well, not trendy, I don't want to use that, but like, it's like the cool thing. Like, it's popular again. So I think the benefit with you guys coming back is you get the old school fans, like, Tom and I's area of age range. And then you have like these young kids, man. And I guarantee you, like, you plug this, you share this around, you're going to have a whole new audience. Obviously, they didn't know who you were because they either weren't alive yet or they're still, walking around in diapers. But, but it's a great time to come back, man. You guys picked a really good time to reunite and release stuff. I think it's going to be very well received. And I think you can see your fan base expanding. I really do see that.
Yeah, we hope so, man. We're enjoying it, and I think our fans are enjoying it. So it's a win-win for everybody. And we're just not done yet.
Yeah, I recently just had a popular, he's getting pretty popular, a reaction video done by Molly Boy TV. We have it posted on our page, and he, I think he's in the UK, and he's up and coming, but he's got a lot of followers. We were the smallest band he ever put. This guy's doing videos of like Slayer and Metallica and Megadeth, like all the big thrash old school bands, Sepultura. And I just reached out to the guy. I was like, all right, well, hey, let me just, most of these people, they want a lot of money that have a million followers and things like that. And it's just, I'm not willing to pay what some of these people were asking. I was like, hey man, would you be up for giving us a shot? And, I got reactions from people that were probably mainstream music fans that were going over. It didn't get the plays that I was hoping. It ain't gonna get the plays Metallica is getting, but it definitely got interest from a whole new audience that was like, who are these guys? And the guy, I'll give him a shout out to Molly Boy TV. He could have ripped us a new asshole if he wanted to, but he was cool. He was cool with us, and he really gave us some nice comments on there. So I want to thank him for that too.
It's awesome, man. Yeah. And now that we're kind of speaking of nu metal here, obviously this is a nu metal podcast. There's a question that we like to ask everybody that we interview. It's this long, what do you want to call it, Tom? Like,
this is a long standing kind of almost like a trope for us as far as our podcast goes. Something,
So we're, obviously we're big nu metal guys. I've always have been. But there's certain bands that are a little bit divisive. Like, are they nu metal? Are they not? Are you guys familiar with the band From Zero from back in the day? They had a song called Check Ya, was their big hit.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Did he have like spiky hair or something like that? Like,
yeah. And then he had like the piercing that was like up here.
I remember seeing pictures of them. I can't say I know their music, but I've seen him visually in pictures. Yeah.
Okay. Hey Tom, would you be able to do you know how to do that on here to share the song to see if they can check it out real quick? All right. So the deal is, I like From Zero. I checked them out live, got to talk to the guys, when I was younger. Always liked their music. And Tom's like, these guys are definitely not nu metal. I think they're nu metal. And it's been kind of – but I will say this. Like, I don't think anybody has disagreed with me so far, Tom. At least who we've brought on the show.
Are they from the Florida West Coast, these guys?
They're from Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. So in the chat for the thing, I don't know, you should be able to see if there's a message there. That's a link to the band.
What's the
song called?
Oh, it's called
From Zero. It's called Check Ya. So, like, check that out, and we'll get a live reaction and see what you guys think. I think they're new metal.
Put it on right now, and just for a brief moment,
absolutely, that's the thing.
Sorry. Yeah, that's a good question. New metal, it's good. Let me get to the chorus.
Yeah.
A lot of Seven Dust.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of like a melodic chorus, yeah.
Reminds me of Taproot there.
Okay, so we're hearing Seven Dust, Taproot. That's, you know.
I would love it like that. They may be more, not as like more, they sound more
alt metal,
punkish. Like they're not as deep, like they're not as hard sounding, I would say. They're more like they're upbeat. So they don't have your Korn type guitar sound and all that.
Sure.
But I still think, I think it falls into that. I think I would call it that if I was listening to it back then.
One more for
all right. Yeah. We got to keep score with this, Tom. Yeah. It's like a little fun thing that Tom and I like to do. But yeah, man. Their album's One Nation Under. So yeah, check that out if you guys got some time. I like it a lot. And he does have some like harsher vocals here and there. But yeah, dude. Just good stuff. But yeah, it's always fun to ask that.
Check him out.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
Yeah, I can't help it. I was always kind of turned off by it because, like, the first time I heard them was finding them on, like, video of them. I'm just like, are these guys trying to be a parody of new metal? So I just kind of always left a bad taste in my mouth for that shit. So I kind of never really got that much into them. I mean,
it's teetering on the edge for sure.
Yeah.
We can admit that. Yeah, it's a little bit too much on the video. Yeah.
I don't know why it came to mind, but one band from back in the day I'll bring up that maybe doesn't get any credit today was called Blindside, and they had an album called
Pitiful. Yeah, great song.
Great song, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught them live once in a local club here. I love that band's album. So
yeah, now, that guy was a unique singer. That guy was definitely unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other one was called Sleepwalking by them. I think that was another.
That whole album is really great. That album. I didn't care for some of the later stuff. But that album, the whole thing. When I saw them, I was like a little fanboy. I was like, oh my god, I love these guys so much. So they were one that really stood out to me. I also love this isn't new metal. I love the first 30 seconds to Mars album. Yes, Jared Leto, an actor. I loved that album. The vibe, the atmosphere, the feeling. I was shocked when I first heard that. That was a big one, and I saw them live too for that album. Don't care for the radio friendly pop rock stuff.
Yeah, now they do nothing.
But that first album had elements that I would say are influential for me too.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah, that first album it wasn't half bad. I'm with you on that. Yeah, for sure. So
yeah, it was good. Also, another one of my favorite bands is Stabbing Westward. So I absolutely love Stabbing Westward. I thought they were so far ahead of their time when they came out. No one sounded like them. And, you know, I wish they were still making music. I don't know. Maybe they are. I have no idea. But
Did I hear something, Tom? Do you know if Stabbing Westward's coming back? Or am I thinking that in my head?
They're doing a lot of shows.
Yeah,
I thought I saw that. Yeah, Orgy's touring with Cold, which I'll go see them.
I saw them last year at Sick New World. Well, Tom and I went to Sick New World in Vegas. We actually talked to Jay Gordon for a quick sec. It was cool, man. Yeah, because my buddies, anybody listen to the podcast know about a couple of my buddies from Colorado. They wear like these big old Mexican tribal boots, and they stand out. And so Orgy played earlier in the day, and then he's walking around with his daughter, and he just walked by our group of friends. He just kind of looked at the boots, and that was like a conversation starter. He's like, what the hell are those things?
Jay Gordon said that to your friend?
Yeah. And my buddy's like, you like these boots? And that's pretty much how we got to meet him and shoot the shit for a little bit.
That's so cool.
Yep. So, but yeah, that was a lot of fun last summer. But so, man, this was a lot of fun. It was a blast. I'm so glad you guys are still at it and coming back with this. Was there anything else you guys wanted to plug or kind of promote while we're here?
Hey, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we will have this other song out, sometime soon. We're finishing it up. So if anybody, is not following us, if you follow our Facebook, facebook.com/scarsoflife, we'll have updates on there. We're definitely going to get that next song out, and we have a couple other ideas lined up. But just stay tuned. I want to thank you guys for giving us the
outlet. Yes, thank you.
I've never done it, and this was actually pretty
fun.
Hey,
thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for reaching out to us about it. We'd love to do these kinds of things with bands. Like just anybody who's going to reach out to us, we'll love to have them on here.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I found out through the Reddit forum, like you said, people were saying, hey, I was reading through the forums, right? I kind of try to do some of the marketing stuff or research. And I was like, who the hell are these guys? Let me go research them. I was like, hey, they got a podcast. Maybe I'm going to beg my way on. So,
no, you don't have to beg us. No, you didn't have to beg us. That's the thing. We'd love to do like things with like, I don't want to say like, we love to do things with like, underground bands, less known bands, whatever, that kind of thing. Because I mean, that's kind of where we are right now, like some top notch, podcast, but that's anything where it's kind of like the people doing anything or bringing back new metal, whatever, anything like that. That's what we love to do.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously anything that you guys are pumping out, we'll be putting out on our page as well and letting everybody know, and obviously let them know about all this. So, but but again, guys, really appreciate it. I know you guys got to start working on your song right now, so we'll probably go ahead.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's next.
I'll say this, guys. If any fans have any questions, we always try to be super responsive. You always can write us and ask us questions in our Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, but he's always active on social media. He's always responding to everybody.
I work in marketing, so I'm used to being involved in that. But if anybody's got questions, feel free to write us. We're super friendly. And we just hope that this answers some questions for the big mystery out there that you've had on our band.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we thank you for your time, guys.
All right. All right. Thank you.
All righty.